Turn, please, in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. I personally have enjoyed the Christ-exalting ministry and have been blessed. Matthew chapter 28, Galilee. Verse number, reading please, verse number 16 to the end. Matthew 28, verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. A study of Matthew, the Gospel, you will have observed and noticed possibly that there are at least seven mountain scenes. And really that puts us on heights, doesn't it? To think of those mountain scenes. And in so doing, you think of the glories, the excellence, the majesty, and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just quickly mention the seven scenes. In Matthew chapter 4, you have the mountain of temptation in the wilderness. And you think of the Lord's temptation, and reminded of that already, but how that he could say three times over, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the Lord Jesus Christ could overcome temptation and the wilderness. What about us? Well, I was thinking, in the light of some of the remarks that have been made, what has been drawn to our attention, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 14. And John, in writing, he says, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Isn't that wonderful what the Word of God can do for the believer? And you who are young, that you might be strong men and women for God. And it's only as the Word of God is abiding in you, that the Word of God is so important. In our new birth, born again, 1 Peter 1:23, not of corruptible things, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. And when it comes to living the Christian life and living a clean life, glorifying God, Jesus, in John chapter 15, verse number 3, you're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Oh, I'm glad at this conference already, the emphasis that's been put upon the Word of God, its importance. The Lord Jesus experienced that, and he overcame. And so might we, as the Word of God is remaining, abiding in us. Number two, there was a Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and through to 7, Sermon on the Mount. And the Beatitudes, the particular spirit that should characterize us as his children, one of humility, one of pleasing him, not self-pleasing, but pleasing our Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, I know. The setting really there is the what we might think of a, the kingdom and what Jesus will set up when he comes back, but I think in a very practical way as well. There's lessons in the Beatitudes for us, the people of God, today. I pass over that. In Matthew chapter 14, we read that Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. I wonder if it was a prayer of intercession. I wonder if he was thinking of his own followers and of the disciples and on the storm-tossed sea in the little boat. And he would pray for them. He could intercede. I think there's a lesson in that. And then he could come and he could appear to them and be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Yeah, comforting words from the Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 17, you have the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus comes back there, and there's Peter, James, and John on the mountain. But there's also Moses and Elijah. I think of Moses, possibly you could think of the ones that were dead and they're raised. Elijah, the ones that are raptured. And there they are with the Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain. Maybe just a little picture of the saints raptured. And then in chapter 24 and 25, you have a second sermon on the mount. And it's basically one of prophecy. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of things that are going to take place in relation to Israel particularly and the nations in those chapters. And then you also have the Mount of Olives. If you come over to chapter 26 and down about verse number 30, the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives. And what's that? What's he anticipating there? He's anticipating the cross, its sorrow, and its suffering, and Christ dying for our sins. The cross of our Lord Jesus. Our hearts have been warmed. Our affections have gone out after that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have thought of him and his willing obedience in going all the way to the cross, dying the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You come here finally, this seventh mention here, and it's the Mount, I'm going to call it the Mount of Commission. It's a mountain in Galilee. A rather despised place, that northern province in the Lord Jesus Christ up in Galilee. But I take it from verse number 16 that it was a special, really an appointed place. Because there the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to meet and would appear to his own. There's tremendous lessons in the Lord Jesus Christ appearing to his own in resurrection. You thought of some of them? Let me just mention a few. He appeared to Mary. In John chapter 20, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Mary. She's all upset. Lord Jesus Christ, where is he? He appears and she's weeping now. And she's searching out and seeking. And he appears and there, I believe it's a ministry of comfort. The Lord Jesus Christ, he drawn near to Mary, and he could reveal himself to her and turn her heart into joy. And you know, there are those that have come and attended the conference, and maybe you have had a sorrow. You have had a burden. You have wept tears. But our hearts, under the sound of the Word of God and in fellowship with the things of God and the people of God, our hearts have been cheered and lifted, hasn't it? Then he appeared to those two on the Emmaus Road, as recorded in Luke chapter 24. And what's his ministry there? Well, he's going to open to them the Scriptures And he's going to show them something again of the sufferings of the Lord Christ in all the scriptures. And wasn't that a great education? Wasn't that a great Bible school? In Luke chapter 24, when on the Emmaus Road, the Lord Jesus Christ opened up in the eyes of their understanding that they might see Christ in the scriptures. Oh, that's been shared with us at the conference already, hasn't it? Christ in those Old Testament prophecies as they relate to the new, Christ in all the scriptures. Then there was the upper room, John chapter 20. And his disciples were gathered there in fear. How does the Lord Jesus Christ appear? He says, peace. A particular Jewish common greeting. The Lord Jesus Christ, peace in the midst of trouble. You know, this world really lacks peace. And I know it can come to them in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who is peace. Romans 5 and 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just think back and relate to my troubled soul for a period of time before conversion, before salvation. But you know, the night I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I had a settled peace. Prior to that time, I would have attempted many things to be saved and tried to do this and that. But it brought no settled peace until just resting, knowing that if God the Father was satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus at the cross, John 19:30, saying, it is finished, I could rest there and I could find a settled peace. Okay? It's interesting, I was in reading that portion the other day about the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive ye Holy Spirit. We're likely best to leave the article out. Receive ye Holy Spirit. It's those disciples were going to receive the power. That's it. The power that was going to come with the Holy Spirit. And another troubling thing, someone was mentioning this early in the conference in conversation. You know, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Oh, is that with man? No, I believe that is the power of the Word of God. That is through the preaching of the gospel. I pass on. There was a ministry of restoration. And you know where we're going for that one. We'll think a moment just about Peter. Again, John chapter 21. I think it had to do with the public restoration of Peter. Oh yeah, in his soul. He was likely, before that occasion, restored to the Lord. But there, the Lord just, he singles Peter out, and he says, Peter, what about my sheep? It's an interesting thing, because Peter is going to incorporate that into his ministry and teaching as well. He says, feed my sheep, and tend my lambs. Peter, here's a ministry for you. It's a ministry of feeding. And how necessary today. And have you felt that during these sessions you have been fed? Do you feel that in the local church, in the local assembly you attend, there's shepherds that would tend the sheep, care for the sheep, love the sheep, go walk before the sheep? The ministry. It's a needed ministry today. The ministry of a shepherd. Well, the appearing of the Lord Jesus. He appears to his own here, and I believe it is the ministry of the gospel. And just for a minute, I'm going to leave time. So I'm winding down. The ministry of the gospel. It's a powerful ministry here in these verses. You know, to look at verse 18, 19, and 20, it has to do with the commission, the Great Commission. And if we were just to read, go into all the world, preach the gospel, teach all nations, you know, it doesn't stop there. There's a lot that is involved in the gospel, in evangelism, in spreading the gospel, and discipling new believers and teaching them these things in this particular section, the Great Commission. It has been summed up by others in this way. You have all power or authority here. You have all nations. You have all things, teaching them to observe all things. And then you have all the days. I guess I'm looking at the margin here of Mr. Newberry, and you have observed that all way, or all the days. So you have those particular four things, and it well sums it up. Verse 18 again, all power, this divine authority that we have, where does it come from? It comes from the risen Lord himself. The one who is the Lord of the church, the one who is the head of the body, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says here again, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then the commission to go. Go and teach all nations. Now that word teach, again, Mr. Newberry in his margin, make disciples. There's the other word here following for teach. But first of all, make disciples. Bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ in all its purity. Preach the gospel. You know, it's a little bit disturbing at times because there are those and you visit about and you speak to them, oh, I've done this. I attend there. And many times it reflects on what they're doing rather than on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not what I think of as the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. To proclaim man's ruin and God's great remedy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, man's responsibility. And accepting the work of Christ and making it personal and for themselves. And so, there's a great responsibility. And the mission field, it's the world. And it's vast. Now, I know that it starts right at home. Right in your own community, at our own doorstep, the spread of the gospel message. There are those today that are eager to hear the message. I do believe so. You know, I remember an incident where there was just a young couple. And they had heard the gospel clearly, one time. And I was asked to go and visit them following early in the morning. Before he went off, he flew up into the northern zone for work in the province of Saskatchewan. And I was asked to go and visit them early in the morning. And you know, when I went to that door, just never experienced anything like that before. They both were sitting at the table with their Bibles open, which is eager to hear God's plan and way of salvation. Eager to hear. You know, there's a lad. And it's interesting because there's mention made of baptism and the Lord's Supper, remembering him. I remember having meetings in a school in a part of the city. And visiting about the school area, and there was a family that attended those meetings and then attended the meetings at the Sunday school and so on. And one after the other heard the word And repeatedly, of that family, it was a lot of foster children and so on in the family, hearing the word. I wondered, oh, is it ever going to stick? Is there ever going to... Well, there's a young man. And just things that were said today, I thought of him, this young man, Austin. And he was baptized. And that was the first time his foster parent came to hear the gospel, first time, at his baptism. Young schoolboy, just finishing high school. But he has a conviction. And he expressed to the brethren a week ago his conviction to remember the Lord Jesus Christ as he has asked them to do. And this Sunday, Lord willing, he will sit down with a company of believers and have that privilege to break bread. I'm challenged. Have you been about believers' baptism? You have it here, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This particular formula, these words, anyway, how important it is. To what? To obey the Lord and to be baptized. And to take those steps in youth. I'm glad. I'm glad there were certain things impressed upon me in my youth. And if you put it off, there's all kinds of questions and all kinds of hurdles and all kinds of reasons you might have for not following through. But we're best just to follow through and obey the word of God someday. So teaching them to observe all things and then his promise. His promise to be with us always, all the days. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What can I conclude by saying? Beloved and young person, keep busy at these things. There's a ministry. Is that a big word? Service. There's something that you can do for the Lord, whether it be a ministry that God would lay upon your heart to comfort, ministry of teaching, ministry of peace, and that you could minister to others. A ministry of restoration, as in the case of Peter, to see others restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Not that one needed to be saved all over again, but maybe you get cold in heart. Oh, that we might be restored fully to the Lord. And then there's a great ministry, isn't there, in relation to the gospel. Keep at the gospel, spread his word for his name's sake and glory.